Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us now is Roger Lilly. He's an energy analyst. Maybe chatting about the reality of load shedding. Roger, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Chad. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Roger, I'm hoping that what we're seeing doing the rounds on social media and on WhatsApp is once again people just looking to cause problems. But people are talking about the very strong reality that we may move to stage 8. Is that a reality? Is it something that can happen?
It is something that can happen. Unfortunately, the minister himself has actually opened the door to the discussion. He actually said that it is possible to prevent the entire network from collapsing. Now, that is really the purpose of load shedding, is to match load to supply. So, you know, you reduce the load to match whatever possible supply you can generate. And with Eskom's generating units becoming less and less reliable and more troublesome, together with all sorts of other problems, we've seen acts of sabotage and the cutting of cables and all sorts of things going on in terms of the theft of coal and the theft of fuel. So Eskom really is in a dire situation. And of course, as the winter bites, more power is required, and Eskom cannot even meet this period of time. You know, the late autumn is already becoming a problem for Eskom. So we really do have some dark days ahead of us, I believe.
So we've seen the figures of what it of the impact that the load shedding has on our economy, especially from a manufacturing perspective. And we're seeing now that load shedding is being kept to the evening. Is this to try lessen the burden during the day, and how does it work? Because it's a dynamic I don't quite understand. We have these energy demands during the day, and they seem to be matching those demands. But we're now having load shedding at night when you'd think there would be less demand. Can you explain that anomaly to us?
Certainly. There's a very simple answer. Finally, the solar and wind power that has been supplied by the renewable energy sector is starting to help us overcome load shedding during the day. So we have sunshine that generates electricity through the PV projects that have been built by the independent power producers over the last few years. And the wind is blowing, so we have some wind power as well. And that is helping us through the day. Eskom, at the same time, however, are still burning enormous amounts of diesel in their peak plants to keep the lights on. So Eskom is spending a great deal of money on diesel, and they are using solar power from independent power producers predominantly, because they only have a small amount themselves to keep the lights on during the day, and so they're able to manage it in this way.
So when you drive through the Cape before you come to that last tunnel that then takes you down into Cape Town, there was a massive solar farm. And then, of course, in the Northern Cape near Upington, there was another different type of solar farm. And I heard at a stage that these hadn't been able to be introduced to the grid. There was both a technical challenge as well as a legal challenge. Are those farms that I'm referring to now online, are they now, have they been introduced to the grid?
So what's happened is that the technical situation has been overcome. Eskom can connect these solar plants to the network. There were issues because the system was never designed to receive power in the opposite direction. The whole network was developed that power would be generated in sort of centralized places in upcountry, as it were, and then run the power down. Now suddenly the power is coming in the opposite direction, and so there were technical issues that had to be overcome. Eskom, as you know, is cash-strapped, so they're limited as to what they can do in any given time. So that was part of the problem. And the other problem in terms of legality has also been overcome. That legality thing really relates more to a financial situation where there was a dispute regarding the amount of money paid, or that Eskom has to pay for that electricity. And that seems to have been overcome now, because they are using solar power much more than they were.
Roger, something that fascinated me a couple of years ago is when they were punting the rail system, the Gautrain, they said that it would be able to introduce power back to the grid because it would be in some way generating power when it was in use. Is this a reality, and is it something that we will see happening in the future with other rail-type developments that are in the pipeline?
Okay, so what we have is something called regenerative braking, where what happens is as the train slows down, it applies brakes. Instead of drawing power from the grid, the momentum of the train moving forward drives the wheels, which generates electricity, which puts it back onto the overhead line. The amount of power put back on the line is relatively small as a percentage of the overall power consumed by the train. So really all it does is it offsets some of the costs in terms of the electricity demand that the train uses. It's not really a supplier of electricity in a real sense.
Okay, so Roger, this is Gary Brimberg. If I may just ask a question, and that is, obviously the time of year that we're at now and going into winter, what can we expect? I mean, where are we headed? Can you give us any insight into this?
Well, look, the power stations are in trouble. That's the bottom line. And we get 95% of our electricity from Eskom. The other 5% comes from independent power producers. And as it turns out, those have to sell their electricity to Eskom, which resells it to us. So the long and the short of it is we get all our power from Eskom. It's just that 95% of it is generated from scratch by Eskom, and the other is generated by independent power producers. So the private sector is adding some business there. We also have major problems going forward with Kuberg. We mustn't expect anything startling to come out of that. There's big jobs to be done there in terms of ongoing work, and so we're not sure if both units will ever be running together. They haven't for years. There's always been one off while the other's on. So Kuberg also isn't going to come to our rescue right now. So I think way forward for us as users of electricity is to find as many ways of generating our own electricity or generating our other forms of energy. So we should be cooking with gas. We should be having solar geysers on our roofs instead of electric geysers. Well, there's a combination of them. But, you can save a lot of electricity, reduce the load. And if enough people across the country were to do that, that would help Eskom significantly to meet the load. But the situation we have is quite simple arithmetically. The load is typically about 30,000 megawatts on an average day in South Africa. Eskom on paper is capable of generating about 48,000 megawatts, plus another 5 from independent power producers. So in reality, there should be no difficulty for Eskom to supply power. So it just shows you how badly off these generators are, that it cannot even meet the 30,000 demand. So at the moment, we're on load shedding stage two, which is 2,000 megawatt equivalent, which means that it's just managing to supply us with 28,000, 28 out of 48. So 20,000 megawatts lost. That's the situation, and that's not going to be fixed overnight.
Well, thank you for the reality check. We really appreciate you taking time out of your afternoon to chat to us today, Roger.
Thank you so much.
That was Roger Lilly. He's an independent energy analyst chatting to us about the reality of load shedding in South Africa.